that's who we I like to celebrate in the routine. And that is not a good example. Because if we are given time to start a meeting, we need to be in the time or in the place at least 10 minutes before the starting time. I'm not sure if that is for people groups or it doesn't work with politicians. But we need to practice that because that is a good practice. If we can adhere to that, we will start in good time and have our deliberations for as much as we can, and also engage the department to whatever in good time. Our meeting with all the discussions and everything should be ending by 12:15. The latest by 12:15. We've got agenda in front of us. I welcome everybody to this meeting of today. After the first or constituency day, our first meeting with the department. After we have visited two committees of visited here to see power issues, we were fortunate to see and feel and touch what is happening in the MCC power station as a member of this committee. We would want to do that in every entity of this committee. We have a lot much weight to be led by the committee of the village for us to do this place. We want to get them as a committee of public enterprise. Welcome everyone.
Я просил присутствовать в чате фонда по телу комедии. Мастер Куан Куан из Анфарии. И мастер Кинь из Атинин Сипу.
Any apologies from the department?
Good morning, Chair and the committee members and colleagues. The apology from the minister. She's engaged in the operation criteria with the president, and an apology as well from the deputy minister.
Thank you, Chair. Today the minister is in KZN. It's an acceptable apology, but I want us to report the fact that it looks like the minister will never have her in the committee meeting because our committee meetings are always on Wednesday. And according to the program of the executive, there's always a meeting on Wednesday of the executive. I am from this to you. I'm not a chairperson of the committee, you know that. I am acting today as the chairperson of the committee. But I want us to read, to just think about another day where we can be able to have the minister within the committee to help us to be in a committee meeting. I had this problem last term with the Minister of Higher Education. Our committee usually sets on a Wednesday, and we have never met the Minister for the rest of the term. We had time, we have only met the Deputy Minister. We have never in a committee meeting had the Minister have involved in our meeting on Wednesday. I want us to check with the Secretary of the committee, the chairperson of the committee, the minister, if we can't change the day of our good, or maybe if it is possible to take a later hour. If it's 5 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Wednesday, we take 5 o'clock up to 8 o'clock in the evening, then we are able to have the minister in our community. We are politicians, we are representing the people. And as we are representing the people, I think we need to take marching order from the political head of that department. That's my take. And I think for us to be listening to what the DG of the department, the COO or the CEO or whoever is saying, and not get the words from the political head, it's frustrating for politicians. I just want to throw that to you, and we reconsider and rethink about the time we are sitting as the committee. Honorable Mare, I do not want to say Honorable Mare, because in the other committee, the economic development, I think there is Mare.
Yes,
so I thought I'm going to then.
I think it's fine that the meeting on a Wednesday, but we can actually be arrived with the office of the minister, and once a quarter we can shift it maybe to a Tuesday or day that fits with the minister's diary, and only once a quarter. So we can keep the Wednesdays and in advance liaise with the office of the minister for a day in a quarter.
Thank you, Honorable
Mare.
I do not want to open this for discussion. I will open it when we are sitting as a committee without any official department that I will ask. But I was just throwing it to you so that we rethink and reconsider what is happening and reconsider our time. The suggestion is noted, but we will sit down and talk about it. We have accepted the apologies. I will now give over to the department to give us the briefing on the annual report and financial statement of 2013-2014. And thereafter, in our agenda, we are supposed to be having discussions, because we don't get only the briefing and close after that. We need to have item number 4 of our agenda should be discussion, and thereafter item number 5 being closed. Can we amend our agenda that week? Oh, Honorable Mien?
Yeah, I think
that's it. One second. Honorable Novanda is looking. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe before I start, let me appreciate the time to present our annual report. And Chair, I'm going to buy a number of officials of the department, so you let me not be assumption to say that they will be the coaches aware of who is here, so maybe let me allow them to quickly introduce themselves and their portfolios in the department.
Let me give the chance of everyone. I do not know that you are new, because I look like the faces that I know. I took it for granted. So let us start the introduction so that everybody that is here can introduce themselves. I'm Zukis Waran. I am representing the chairperson of the committee. I am the whip of the ANC in the committee. Thank you.
I'm Zwile Luyenge, originally from the Eastern Cape, and of course from the Cape Town.
Bienvenido Banda, member of the police.
My name is Morty. Today I am from the Oto and Father Police from the Afghanistan.
Good morning, Mommy, my son is from Econ.
My name is Tobani, my surname is Mateza. I'm serving in the Department of Public Enterprises, the liaison officer in the Office of Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is
Shepherd, members. My name is Elisa Makazi. I'm the Director General of Corporate Management, Department of Public Enterprise. Sometimes I'm called the CEO.
Good morning, Mr. President and honorable members. My name is Cynthia McCartney. I'm the DD Chief for Energy at Public Enterprises.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Khatazo Kabeji. I'm the DDG responsible for defense, mining, and forestry.
Good morning, Chairperson and the members. My name is Kona Sabiso. I'm responsible for planning, monitoring, and evaluation within the Department of Public Enterprises.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Ahmed Khalid Said, and I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the ministry.
Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, my name is Roy Lemnesi, I'm the College Advisor for the Community.
Morning, my name is Sam Mushumi and I'm the Committee Secretary for the Community.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Martin Simuholu, the Acting DG, Department of Public Enterprise. Chair, when the Honorable Zukide was saying he comes from the big gun, I wondered whether he has joined Denel because the only company that is going to Chair, we mandated you that the presentation was actually to discuss, and it's not really a long presentation, but what I intend to do so that we can have enough time for engagement, I'll go through the salient parts of the presentation, then we can take comments and issues for discussion. Chair, this slide is just about the department to give the committee a flavor of our portfolio, and I think a takeaway from this slide is the fact that the broadband in Hulco will no longer be part of the department's portfolio. On the 26th of September, the President signed the proclamation, which will see now the transferring of the company to the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. We are in the process of finalizing the memorandum of understanding with National Telegraphy and the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services to ensure compliance with the requirements of the TSMA in terms of the transfer of the funds and affected employees. Our department change is organized around these three programs, and this is a result of the changes that have been introduced a couple of years ago with the National Telegraphy and the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. So program one, what we call administration, we'll go into detail what it comprises of. Program two is the legal governance and risk. Then program three is portfolio management and strategic partnerships, which has a number of setup units in it. The vision and the mission and the outcome of our portfolio are taken that it's understood right now, but I think it's worth mentioning that the vision, when it was introduced, was aimed at ensuring that we assisted the civil companies to drive investment, productivity and transformation. in the portfolio. But also we wanted to bring a package not to be only inward looking to themselves, but also to focus to their customers as well as their suppliers. And this vision is also in acknowledgement of the fact that in 2004, it was a policy that directed the department to retain ownership of the state-owned companies. And this led really to the commencement of ambitious investment programs. And the region then gained momentum over the years as the debate around developmental states also gained momentum. The key outcome, we want to ensure that we use state-owned companies to unlock economic growth, to ensure that they contribute to the industrialization and transformation, and in this case not only to the demographics or the racial profiling of the economics in the state-owned companies, but also through the development of small, medium enterprises, as well as strengthening the CSI programs within the SOC. Then we also looked at the regional development, and to this end we have concluded and developed an Africa strategy which is aimed at providing direction and to focus on the own companies that need to pursue business in the continent. Our strategic part, because the department, the mandate is really one of shareholder oversight, we've looked at six areas for the period under review. Firstly, to maintain the robust shareholder oversight and through the practices of the shareholder framework and management of or adopting a shareholder management model in the department, which will ensure direct benefits to the SOC and also to the department. We have stabilized and repositioned the state-owned companies, and in this case, the idea that we need to look at alternative funding options. I think when we go to later slides, we will all appreciate that given the constrained fiscal and the global economic downturn, it is important that we focus the stable companies to look at alternative sources of funding so that we reduce the reliance on the fiscal. Of course, there's a need to ensure that we recognize that state-owned companies are key instruments for developmental states, and as I said earlier on, this debate around the developmental states is gaining momentum, and the report on the Presidential Review Committee as well is strengthening the two levers that we're working on, which is driving the fixed investments to unlock economic growth, but also to leverage procurement, because as you can understand, the SOCs and the state are one of the major procurers. And of course, if we gear up our shoulder over time, we want to make sure that we drive at the investments, and in this case, the emphasis on the number of strategic integrated projects within which our SOCs are participating. Continuing on the strategic thrust is capacity building to enhance the department's ability to execute its strategic plan. And again, it's worth mentioning that in our experience, the shareholder oversight function requires some kind of a specialized skill and also the ability to ensure that we are agile as we perform function. And the last strategic part is the creation of a supportive policy environment to support the sustainability of the state-owned company. And this, in essence, requires a cooperative and collaborative approach to governance. So we are beginning to see this in this approach where a number of ministers are working together through various interministerial committees. And in order to enable us to lead on this strategic path, the ability for us to ensure that we institutionally report in the department, because the role of the department is really evolving, and since 2004, it has evolved really from being an office of privatization to being a department that is responsible for strategic state-owned companies. So it is important to align the mandate and the focus of the state-owned companies to the wider government objectives. And when it comes to policy and regulatory environment, I think this is similar to funding issues, that you cannot look at state-owned companies without looking at issues of funding and without looking at issues of how do you make sure that the policy environment is coherent so that as we implement these policies, the religious Sufis are also able to grow themselves. And of course the regulatory environment, which is changing, and more in the case of the scope and transnet. And the effective strategic coordination across the whole of government, and I've already spoken about the bill that is coming out of the various violations. A quick look at our organizational structure. The department is headed by the minister as the basic authority, ministership office towards the end of May. And the minister is also supported by the deputy minister, who also provides strategic support. And weekly appointments to the department also ensures continuity. The director general is responsible for the administrative functioning of the department. The position is currently vacant due to the resignation of the DG. And then those are the programs here that I'm referred to. Program 1, which is led by the DG Corporate Management. Sometimes referred to as the COO or coup, as people say. So, but this is the coup that you spell with the C, not the K, and the coup, not that it has the coup d'etat in it. Yeah. Then, of course, program 2, the legal governance. Program 3, I think that's where the bulk of the oversight of the department is centered, because it comprises of the energy and broadband enterprises. Which will soon change to energy enterprise, transport, manufacturing, strategic partnerships, and economic impact and disalignment. We'll go into the details into the specific areas of each. Compliance areas for us, as again, as a shareholder department, compliance is key to our work, and we are proud to announce that under the yearly review, we successfully developed our annual HR plan, and we submitted the plan to the Department of Public Service and Administration, and it was done with a stipulated timeline. All staff members within the department have signed performance contracts and are being assessed as per the DPSA criteria. We managed to reduce our vacancy rate from 10% in the previous financial year to 1.8%. Although the retention of critical skills continues to be a challenge to the department. We've also developed our strategic plan and the annual performance plan, and also they were also approved within quiet timelines. Here we've also enhanced on our performance monitoring evaluation measures, and in this regard the policy was approved and implemented, and you'll see later the benefits that are coming in the screen of what are coming out of that. And this has also resulted in improved management and override on performance information within the department. Our annual report was developed and approved, and our knowledge management strategy is also being implemented. Then I'm focusing also to the minister, the deputy minister. They were able to accompany the CEOs of our federal companies. Today we visited seven provinces as part of the provincial engagement. The two provinces that we were not able to get to was Mpumalanga and Western Cape. But I understand from the our IDR that progress is being made in terms of closing on those visits. We have as required in government a 3-year strategic and operational internal audit plan, and it has been developed and is being implemented. To date, there are 12 projects that are being undertaken. Our audit committee continues to be robust, and it meets as required the issues, and continues to assist the department in exercising the shareholder oversight function. Actually, Chair, we are looking at extending the engagement of this committee to the state-owned companies, their audit and risk committees, in collaboration with the AG. This is one commitment that we made last year, and we only had one meeting, and we're trying to improve on this. Enterprise risk management approach is being implemented in line with the National Treasury guidelines, and we developed a strategic risk register, and this register focuses specifically on SOC risk, for which the department is responsible and for monitoring. Here we are also required to ensure that the invoices that are submitted by suppliers of the department are settled and are put within the database. We continue to look at that area and we have improved significantly then. Our management accounts are submitted to National Treasury within the stipulated timeline. We have an accurate asset register, which is maintained by our finance department. We have managed to reduce our reliance and use of consultants by 38.5% compared to the previous year, which culminated in financial value, as you get to see there. What detection and prevention mechanisms that were put in place, and later on when we talk about the activities of the department further in terms of programs, the committee will appreciate the fact that we don't have many cases that fault related to the department. We have a regular expenditure which was shared, and we also have disciplinary processes that are in place, but when we come to problem one, we talk to this in detail. Food lesser expenditure amounting to 530,000 was incurred, and this was mainly the result of the cancellation of the summit hold, which we were going to hold in brief. And an investigation was undertaken, and it was concluded that there was no apportionment of blame to any government official in terms of negligence. The overall department performance, we have achieved 83% of the target for the financial year, and this reflects a 19% improvement in our previous performance, which was just above 60%. We further resort our reputation of a clean audit, and this has been as a result of the increased focus in terms of our internal processes and management of performance information and the improvement in the performance contracting of the SMS. This actually has been ensuring credibility in all the information that we submit to the AG, and also making sure that we have adequate portfolio of evidence on all the department activities. So what were the challenges that we experienced for the 2013-14 financial year? Of course, you cannot look at the DPE without looking at the or just linking it to the performance of the economy, and which has had really a profound impact on the operational environment of our state-owned companies, and in this case, our airlines or the aviation portfolio has been the most affected. And we will elucidate more on the issues later when we address the economic context and the performance of the economy. The slower than expected economic performance has also resulted in the lower volumes, and this is the case of transit. And this is what really we call the external factors that we continue to monitor for state companies. The creation of supportive policy framework, which will ensure that the promotion of effective functioning and financial sustainability of the services remain a challenge. And we decided earlier also that with the various interministerial committees, we see data that is coming out of those engagements, but the progress will remain slow for some time, given the fact that there's a lot of analysis that must be done in respect of these state-owned companies. We started the work around the ESCOM, and we will be focusing on our aviation portfolio. The ability of the department again to attract and retain the critical capabilities in order to increase our function, it continues as a challenge. And in this case, again, without sounding like a broken record, competition within the private sector, which remunerates better, and even our state-owned companies, because they source more from us, and we've become more of a private sector bound for the recruitment, both from the private sector and the state-owned companies. However, despite all the challenges, we have performed well, achieving a clean body opinion as well as an 83% in terms of our annual performance plan. We will quickly then look at the financial performance of the department chain. This slide talks to the expenditure trends, and maybe to it just highlights the programs individually, but maybe to go to the narration, which gives an explanation on slide 17, which talks to the 21 million really of understanding, and we've been looking at this issue seriously achieved. And this was as a result of the delays in filling some of the codes, because we went through the robust exercise of ensuring that we streamline our 90-day vacancy period, so that we make sure that all vacant positions are filled. Because again, some of the positions we had to go through and enhancing, which given the specialized nature of skills that is required. Goods and services, 15.4% of the budget, and in this case, this is due to the delays in executing some of the projects. Again, because of capacity, we didn't have necessary required skills, especially when we look around the work that was coming in terms of media analysis of the build program, as well as looking at the demand management strategy for funding. Of course, quality and facility, Michelle will already allude to that, related positions around ESCOM, broadband, and the discussion with the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. So we are hopeful though that if the VDI is being transferred, that the National Broadband Policy would be able to assist the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services in executing the mandate for VDI. And of course, Kenya's position on some point in terms of how we take the company forward. We had rollovers on goods and services, and we requested an amount of $5 million in order for us to complete this project in the new financial year. And we've already given ourselves a tough mandate through the BGCM and the CFO to ensure that we deliver on this. However, because National Treasury did not approve the funding project for the current financial year, it also meant the department going back to the drawing board in terms of outstanding. Then quickly, Chair, going through the economic performance and the economic outlook. I think, Chair, it is clear that the economy suffered 2007-2008 financial crisis, and we can see the impact of that. And in the case of our Africa, I think it was also aggravated by our liquidity challenges within the same system. So within the BRICS countries, both is expected to remain really feeble over the next 5 years. And the recent decision by China is not really helping the situation. As the community are aware, China has taken a decision to impose a gold import tariff. And in this case, the idea from the Chinese government is to push in its domestic sectors. So we anticipate that that is going to have a challenge on our coal mining business. And again, if you think of Africa and Brazil, and the challenges through activities. In terms of the study and the projections by the IMF and the National Treasury, there's an indication that the company, the economy of the country will only grow by 3%. And as a result, actually, the 3% is really defeated in some quarters, with some of the economy facing a much lesser growth rate. Now, how does this economic context then compare or impact on our investment in the country? I think the importance of this slide, Chair, is to show again that despite the economic, the challenging economic climate, we took a decision as the state to focus on promoting long-term state-owned company planning and to unlock growth. And we gave a mandate to the state-owned companies to go on their robust investment drive. And you can see through the intervention in
in complex industries like the electricity build program, the demand strategy by Transnet. So driving investment in the economy is crucial to ensuring that the capacity and promote efficiencies. And to deliver on the current infrastructure investment, it is important that we support the economic recovery by ensuring that the state of companies can deliver on those build programs. And again, we focus on localization assets in the area side to make sure that resources they don't go themselves but for the bigger economy. I think the bigger policy question here is government should really address how we get the private sector to revisit their decision not to invest aggressively in the economy. We've made it into some quotes that necessarily call the investment side by the private sector, and it's how they react to the economy. But we believe that the state has done very well by showing that the state-owned companies play a critical role in this. But we can do better in terms of forging partnerships with the state, with the private sector companies. The summary of our shareholder function. We have largely delivered on all the shareholder management functions. And this really includes, and this is high level chair, the signing of the shareholder context. I think it was last year when we were presenting our report, and it was also earlier on when we were presenting a report on the dashboard and performance of our single companies that we were not doing very well. We have significantly improved here. There's only one shareholder complex which was not approved and that was in respect of our forestry company, and this is due to the fact that we are still engaging the company on a new strategy. We have delivered on the strategic intent statement, and Minister has addressed the annual general meetings of the state-owned company, again satisfying shareholder expectation in this regard. We continue with our quarterly financial reviews, and to make sure that we address information challenges from state and companies, and also to make sure that we deal with the issues of inefficiencies we identify. So all I can say with in summarizing this slide is that the shareholder function really needs to be continuously reviewed and transformed, and this includes providing for specialized industry dispensation, because the state-owned companies operate in an environment which changes constantly. Targets not achieved. This is one slide that I don't like very much share, but I am required to inform the committee in terms of where we do not do well. Under program one, it's under irregular expenditure that we have in check. The disciplinary processes that are in progress and being investigated. And I think the DDG here will be different in terms of the timelines when we can be able to conclude on that. Again, issues of fruitless and expenditure. We were not able to conclude our ICT governance structure, and the delays here were due to a number of factors. And again, capacity and not having appropriate governance structures. Under program two, we are challenging the approach that is really challenging us. And this is developing the position paper on the impact of corporate theft on the portfolio, on ESCOM and Transnet in the main. However, we've introduced the interdepartmental task team whose view how the provincial government is experiencing the same problem, and we've seen now that in the arts theatres are experiencing the same thing. The number of theatre plays which could not take place in the last 2 weeks due to competence. So the problem is becoming clear and bigger on a daily basis, so we've expanded the scope to include other relevant government departments. Under program 3, our manufacturing enterprises, again, is the so-called business strategy which is going to be finalized. The transport enterprises, the NCPL system, and also which is supposed to be helping the department in terms of its logistics costs, and also making sure that the efficiency in the corridors. So we're still looking at implementing that project. Under economic impact and policy alignment, our transformation framework was prepared in order to ensure alignment with the current transformation framework and guidelines. Strategic partnership chair is responsible for our SIPS program, and the business plans for the SIPS were not developed in time. So Chair, I'll move to the program, and what I want to do, then I'll hand over to individual DDGs to talk to their programs, and I'll talk to the program, those programs that are most recommended by their respective issues.
We'll start with any decision. Anyone? Program 1. Go to Program 1.
Thank you, Chair. I think a number of issues really that are in Program 1 are compliance issues that have already been given attention. So I won't take much time. Just on this slide that in front of us, just really that we have successful contracting transactions and the compliance requirements regarding MTF and submission of financial statements will get our target regarding transversal problems. We've also managed to comply with the requirement for all regarding the reporting on PFMA, the different schedules that we report to in respect to PFMA, but mainly important is the submission of the monthly management reports, which we submit to Minister and to the Director General and Treasury. In terms of talent management, next slide. In terms of talent management, we have developed the action which is referred to the issue of the fact that we lose the people in the PA and we lose the resources in the private sector, and we have budget constraints because we work within a departmental center which is governed by the Department of Public Administration in terms of how personnel is managed and secured and generated. So we have a talent management framework that has been approved. We didn't deal with the issue of retention, how best do we retain people so that they don't leave us, but we are working in the public sector environment, which lots of people, when they get offers in particular from the SOCs, they are offered so much money that you can't even count the offers, and even if you wanted to, you can't afford, and the parameters you are allowed to wear within the public service do not allow you to count the offers. In terms of the cancer rate, we have managed to keep our vacancy rate at 1.8% by the end of the financial year, and we've done extremely well compared to the previous financial year. We had a vacancy rate of 11.9%. In terms of our performance monitoring and evaluation, we've seen a lot of improvement in how performance is managed within the organization. All our SMS members, all staff in the department have performance control. And specifically the SMS members, their contracts now are aligned direct to their unit plan and to the AEP, just to ensure effective monitoring to deliver on our strategy objectives. We also have developed a policy on performance monitoring and evaluation, which is in line with our requirements from the PME and how to structure our performance reporting and associated. Also, we're working with the PME to identify projects that we need to start evaluating. There are projects of the department and there are projects of the LOCs that we can start working together and evaluate and how the projects are doing and the impact of the projects to the economy as well. I will hand over to Acting Chief to deal with the programs. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. This development governance program, I think the issues that we need to be highlighted is the achievement that has been made on the winding up of the Bandura. I think we recall this is one of the legacy issues and the matter that has been challenging the department. The good news is that a liquidator has subsequently been appointed, and we received the first liquidation report in July this year, and the team is analyzing its content in terms of how to take the process forward. The state-owned company board and executive remuneration guidelines they are in the process of being implemented, and as a matter of fact, this AGM cycle, 2014 AGM cycle, saw a lot of review of the state-owned companies' policies in terms of corporate remuneration.
Apologies, Chair. In relation to energy and broadband enterprises, one of the targets that we achieved was the implementation of the care maintenance for the PBMR project. The community will be aware that the cabinet approved that this project be put under care maintenance in 2010, and we've been implementing that over the last 3 years. So what was achieved last year was that the company was transferred to Transcom for installation. And we also put together a cabinet memorandum to determine the future of the company. Unfortunately, we don't have a decision yet from the cabinet, but that was achieved. One of the key elements that we are monitoring as a department is the balance of the power system and ensuring security of electricity supply. And in that regard, we've been working closely with the company and other government departments in relation to increasing capacity, electricity generation capacity, by looking at different options, including fast-tracking the renewable energy program. We have approved a total of 2,500 megawatts of IPPs, including the procurement of the open gas hydrocarbon power plants that are procured by the Department of Energy. And we hope that those become into the system over the next few years. And in relation to financial sustainability of the company, Kila Vihatom, which was experiencing significant challenges in relation to matching the revenue that are generating with the cost that they're incurring. We have effectively engaged and supported the company in relation to addressing those costs and trying to manage them down, but also looking at other options to support adequate revenue generation. And that led to a cutting in funds, which subsequently made a proposal to cabinet. We've also actively engaged the company around progress in the expansion of its CapEx program, capital expenditure program, and we also completed a study to assess how the program was implemented, which useful recommendations came out of the process, which we have shared with the company.
Thanks, Chair. To manufacture and enterprise starting with Alexco. In view of Alexco's operation being a single mine in Rustenburg, which they have 1% shareholding in the previous financial year, the board was tasked with reviewing the strategy of the business and looking at ensuring sustainability of the business going forward. That new strategy was approved in the last financial year. And it was publicized at the 2012 AGM. That process is going quite well, and the plan is for the business to diversify into coal in support of the national energy security strategy. That, of course, will require also further engagement with other stakeholders involved, especially funding of energy. And that is ongoing. So we are hoping that going forward that we'll have some positive news to put in the portfolio committee as to how that work is progressing. Adilal, the chair, is a good news story. A few years ago, we stood here reporting a lot of that discrimination. The business has been turned around. This was on the record of the general blame approved by cabinet in 2013, which led to the injection of 700 million rand of funding into the business, as well as 1.85 billion rand guarantee to the business to lessen the cost of a debt on the business. We are continuing as a department to monitor the performance of the business. There's monthly monitoring meetings with the National Treasury to ensure that the progress that we're seeing is maintained and that the business is put to a sustainable level. In the last financial year, we also commissioned two studies where we're looking for lessons learned from the wayfarer attack helicopter. As all are aware, it has been developed very successfully in the peacekeeping operations in DRC. So we are looking to see what are the economic benefits that have come from that particular project. And the study should be completed in the next quarter, and we're hoping in the future to be able to share that work with the portfolio committee. We have also looked at the strategic equity partnership strategy that was implemented by the department a few years back, where international OEMs were invited to take seats in various operations of OptiNEMF. We wanted to see the benefits that the country and Genella have derived from that particular strategy, and that should also be completed soon. And I can just add with that to those businesses, they are profitable and they are no longer a risk on the net. So they have to continue to hold a minority shareholding in that business, in those businesses, and to the contribution they are making to the net is a positive one. The fact in just the one SOC has already spoken about is what happened in SAPCOL, we continue to put a lot of effort into the business. And we had repositioned the business in view of its vulnerability to the mining and construction industry that had been under pressure due to the economic climate in the country. And we are hoping that the next time we meet, we'll have a new strategy for the business. Department in the last financial year completed a new role formation for SAPCOL. In this financial year, it should make its way.
In the case of transport enterprises or such of the Transnet, in terms of the improvement in operational indicators that we do agree with the LOC or the shareholder complex, they have managed to see an improvement in those operational patterns. Even in the economy Transnet managed to move 229.32 million tons last year compared to 207.7 million tons in the previous financial year. Transnet also achieved about 34 kilometers per hour in the distribution from last year and 25 kilometers per hour in tier 2 against a tier 4, 28 moves in tier 1, in tier 3, in tier 2. So we see an improvement in operational efficiency in the support as well, which is supposed to assist the company in improving its competitiveness with regard to its business that it competes with global costs around the world. In terms of the delivery of the build program, Transnet is engaged in a countercyclical investment program. So in the face of economic downturn, Transnet is not really adjusting the investment downwards, but rather upwards to ensure that they build capacity ahead of demand. And in this instance, they've intensified the capital program to 301 billion for the implementation of the market demand strategy, spending 32.5 billion of that 301 in the 2014 financial year. And this is the role to increase capacity and efficiency of our logistics system. The concept is continuing to increase investment to help with the improvement of those operational efficiencies.